Welcome back to another episode of Friday Night Light. Tonight we circle back with Kate Ranta and check in and see how she's doing after her move, feeling at home and feeling herself more than ever. Stay tuned. Well, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I hear a little bit of my reverb in the back, but hopefully it'll go away.
Okay.
It sounds okay
on my end for now.
Okay. Awesome. So how's things?
Things are good.
Yeah. Did you get lots of snow last night or the night before?
No, we didn't. We didn't.
None at all.
None. I mean, we got rain.
Oh,
so ew. I'm told that this is part of like coastal living up here. So like, where Amy lives, like kind of mm-hmm. central Mass, she got mm-hmm. a ton and we got literally rain. It's been raining since yesterday and like, you know, like that gross wintry mix and it's a little slushy and not, it's not been nice.
Yeah, that's way worse than snow. Like, I can do some snow, but 18 inches, like Amy was talking, I'm like, nah, man, that's not my jam. But wintry mix, no thank you.
Yeah, I'll take, you know, the 18 inches over this, so.
Yeah.
This is
that's
terrible.
That's what she said. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's terrible to say. Sorry. Let's not start on that track, Jen.
Like, whoa, okay, we're going right there.
Right. And bada bing. I'm terrible at this. Since we've talked, I was calculating. I think it's been like 9 months since we chatted.
That's crazy.
So here we are, birthing a new baby.
Yeah.
And since then you've moved. So you were in Virginia. Now you're, where are you exactly? Well, not exactly, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm in the North Shore area of Massachusetts. So like Rockport and Gloucester area, right on the water. I have, you know, extended family up here. Like our family goes back, you know, generations in this area. And it had long been my goal to kind of get up here and, you know, settle kind of forever.
Yeah. I remember always seeing the posts of you going back there. I really didn't know what the connection was. So you've had family that's been up there forever then?
Yeah. I spent summers up here. My on my dad's side, my grandmother lived here, so I would like, especially as like in middle school and stuff, I would spend the summers up here with her, and it's kind of been like, it was kind of a second home growing up, and it's just, you know, just always been kind of my safe place.
Absolutely. And complete full circle now. Yep. Too. Yeah.
Yep.
I love it.
So basically COVID hit and my parents they've been thinking about going back and forth like snowbirds, you know, like they had been from Florida up to Rockport. Mm-hmm. They knew that they wanted to make Rockport forever once they stopped doing the snowbird thing, and COVID sort of pushed their plan up. So once they made that decision, I was like, okay, I think it might be time for me too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's great too. That's one of the reasons I moved back here too. So many people are like, well, why'd you move back here? I mean, being close to my family, my parents, mm-hmm. my sisters here, it's been a world of difference in healing and moving forward and just that underlying support. You know what I mean? Like when you're down in the dumps and you have your family like right there, it's something you definitely don't take for granted, you know?
Definitely. So, and I, you know, I was in the Virginia area for 4 years and didn't, you know, I was separated kind of from my parents and we've been so close when we were in Florida. So, you know, for those 4 years, I really missed having them so close by. So,
yeah,
this is just ideal.
Well, I'm sure.
Yeah. Cause I wanted to be up here anyway. So.
Yeah. And it's good for the family dynamic, you know, when we have kids and they can mm-hmm. relate to our parents. I mean, I didn't grow up with that. I had no grandparents. They all passed before I was born.
Oh, wow.
So I know it's it's really important for my kiddos to have that touching stone. You know, they don't realize it now, but when they're older, they'll be able to look back and be like, man, that was some good times, you know?
Absolutely. And
so that's awesome.
William's always been so close with my parents, you know, with everything that we've been through. So it's like, they're definitely his second home, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's rewind a little bit. And for people just tuning in, let's tell everybody your name and what you're up to basically now that you've moved.
So I'm Kate Ranta. And I mean, yeah, for nobody that's heard my story, I guess I can just do just a brief overview of that. So
absolutely.
I met you because I'm a survivor of domestic and gun violence. My ex-husband shot my father and me twice each in front of my son William, who was 4 at the time. He's now 12. And in like the years since the shooting, I've kind of, you know, increased my advocacy and activism around violence against women and done a whole lot of things like documentaries and, you know, speaking on panels and at big rallies and on the steps of the Capitol and all this crazy stuff. It's been a really wild ride, especially when I was living in DC for 4 years, just because of proximity to, you know, kind of the political scene and doing all that kind of stuff. But, in moving up here, I've chosen really to, I don't want to say take a step back, because I'm still going to do advocacy sort of as it comes up and as I, you know, I'm comfortable doing it. But there's definitely a sort of take back your life feeling after, right, after a while. You know, I'm over eight years out now, and just time to kind of settle down a little bit and just be for a while. Yes. I haven't done that. And, you know, it just feels really good. It feels really good to live in a safe and beautiful place mm-hmm. where I have friends here that I made as a child. You know, I've got extended family. There's a lot of good going on here since I moved, and I'm just trying to stay focused on that. I still want to help people, and I'll keep doing it, but I'm a little like choosier about it now.
Yeah. Do you think there's some shame in when we don't advocate like 24/7? Do you think that other survivors, which, you know, how I don't even really like that word, yeah, and people get pissed at me, but I think for me, it's not that I feel shame, but do you feel like since you stepped back that people have kind of shamed you a little bit? Have you experienced any of that?
I wouldn't say I've experienced, at this point, I haven't experienced shame from others. I think for me, my problem was that I felt like for the longest time, it was like pressure on myself. Like I felt like if I passed mm-hmm. up an opportunity, if I said no to something, if I was felt burnt out, but you know, something came up, I felt like I had to keep going. I had to keep doing it. So it was more pressure on myself. And in the last mm-hmm. year, probably really since COVID hit and kind of everything came to a halt, had much more time, just, you know, not a lot was going on, to just sort of give myself permission to say, you know, yeah, it's okay if I'm weary and I'm a little tired of telling the story, and I'm, you know, and I, you know, let others do it for a little while, because I've really been out there for a long time. So I think it was more pressure on myself and like, but not shame. I don't think
not shame.
Yeah. No. And listen, if somebody did try to shame me, please.
Right. Like, yeah. We're not having it.
Why don't you go to my website and see what I've been doing? You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I deserve a little break. So I'm
advocating, I think, more for myself now than I ever have been.
Yes. That's something that I'm trying to teach Kaylin, my oldest, now that she's been doing, you know, in homeschooling, it's really hard. And I told her, I said, you know what? The only thing that I can tell you that I learned too late in life, going back to my relationship with the domestic violence and the court and jobs I've had, you've got to start advocating yep. for yourself now, right now. And you don't have to be a bitch about it. You don't have to be anything but yourself, but you do have to know your worth starts with yourself, and advocating for yourself will get you everywhere. It's basically manifestation, but you have to speak up. And, you know, I wasn't taught that at all.
None of us were, I don't think in our generation. And it's really sad. And I think it's how a lot of us really became kind of vulnerable mm-hmm. to falling into less than desirable situations with relationships right. and even at work, or, you know, all kinds of things. Cause we were kind of told to just kind of be pretty and quiet and just behave and be a lady and that kind of stuff. And, you know, I think our generation is doing better with our children,
absolutely.
Giving them the tools and saying, we don't want you to have to go through what we went through. Like, legitimately, we don't. So
I don't want you to have to be 46 and loving your body and feeling good in your skin. I want you to feel that now. Right. And I feel like both my kids do. Yes. And I'm so proud of them for that. And I take good ownership of that too, that, you know, we don't use the word fat and stupid and all that. I mean, obviously we have bad days. I'm like, oh man, I feel chubby. I shouldn't have eaten those two donuts, but yeah. I'm like, but we're okay. You know? So that whole advocacy thing, for sure. That's the one thing that I can teach my kids. And I feel like if we can teach them that and to be yourself, that they'll do way better than we did. And yeah, I mean, I just think about all the times that I didn't stand up for myself, because I'm like, well, no, not doing that
I know,
anymore.
I know. And I think back to young me sort of in my 20s and just like trying to like flail around and feel like I feel on the inside, but trying to project a different sort of image on the outside and conforming to what I thought I needed to, you know, I thought I needed to be versus what I wanted to be. And I mean, I'm sure you can relate. It took like 2 decades to get to where yeah. I am now. And that's crazy to me.
Well, and all the times that we were standing up for ourselves, obviously we were putting these predicaments where we were called crazy.
Yep.
And then that's all the situations kind of culminate into what, not that we provoked it, but it all makes sense, right? Like, I'm just trying to stand up for myself and somebody didn't like it. So yeah. So, and going back to you living in DC, which is so wild to think about, like just all the changes that have taken place since we quote have met, you know what right. I mean? Like, and I love it. Yes. I really do love it, because for me, I just think that, I mean, this is the longest I've lived anywhere. It's like almost 8 years. And for me, being a military kid moving around a lot, like, I'm like, what the hell? This is so weird. But to me, if you're not moving or changing or, you know, learning something new or reinventing something, like, what's the point? Like, I don't get it. So I really admire that you've moved and done all these things. And
yeah,
you know,
I've gotten some flack in my life about all of my moves, and some, you know, a lot of them were like I wanted to, and some a lot during, you know, leaving my abusive relationship, a lot of the moves really were for safety. Like, I had to mm-hmm. move to from one apartment to another, back to my parents, to an apartment, back to my parents. Like, they're just, that was like a time of upheaval. But, mm-hmm. and, you know, when I was younger, yeah, I moved around a lot. Why not? You know, I could. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. And I've only been here in Massachusetts since the summer. But it's so familiar to me, and it feels like home. And I know that this is where I'm staying, that it's mm-hmm. so nice to feel settled. Like,
yeah,
this is where I'm going to be. And I can, you know, when COVID is ever over, I can travel and stuff at some point.
Right.
But, to have kind of the home base and feel like, you know, roots are here.
is really something nice. And I really haven't experienced that much in my adult life either. Even though I was in the DC area for most of my adult life, it never felt like home.
Yeah. And I do think, like, it's so wild. We've talked about before, like, I can see you, you know, this whole movie of your life, so to speak, and being in DC was like part of your healing. Like, this is where I make shit happen and I stand on front of the Capitol and people know, you know what I mean? Yeah. And you being settled now, I'm like covered in goosebumps. You know how I get these conversations that it really is that timeline of healing. And I can hear it in your voice. I can see it in your pictures. It's just different, you know? It's so that's
so
awesome.
So different. And frankly, we've talked about this stuff, like kind of the process after getting out of like an abusive relationship and, you know, getting stuck in a certain mindset. We've talked about that. And I do feel that for a long time in Florida and carrying even over into DC, I was really, and then when Trump got elected and everything, I just really feel like I was so angry. And I see it even in my Facebook memories and posts and stuff. I'm like, God, I was so just pissed, you know, at like everything and everybody. And I don't know. I know, you know, your problems follow you no matter where you are and you can move and they're still going to follow you. And there's definitely something to be said for that. However, mm-hmm. I do feel like I let so much go when I moved up here.
Yeah.
Like I'm not filled with anger really anymore. I didn't think I'd ever sort of reach acceptance. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have.
Acceptance of what?
What happened.
Yourself.
To me, happened to me. Mm-hmm. I think that's where a lot of the anger had come from, was like, why me? Why did this have to happen to me? And trying to understand it. And now it's just kind of like, okay, that happened, but that's not all of who I am.
Right.
So I accept that this happened, but you know, now I'm like ready to kind of like look forward, or, you know, and not be kind of stuck in that cycle.
Well, and I think it is harder, you know, when you have done so much advocacy, it kind of follows you around. And you know, being kind of where you are now, I mean, even people knowing you from growing up, I mean, there's a different level of respect, because we talked about this years ago about how when I met you in St. Louis, how people would come up to you and almost like treat you like a celebrity.
Yes.
And you're like, no, I can't have that. I don't want that feeling.
I've never been comfortable with that at all. Like, I'm a fan. I'm like, how are you a fan? Right. Like, I'm just this person. I don't know. You know, I've never been like that, you know? I definitely did not feel comfortable with that. So, right. It's kind of nice to be, it's kind of like when I go home to New Jersey too, it's like everybody knew me way back then. And that's kind of, I don't know how to explain it. Not, you can't ever go back to who you were, but it's just kind of nice to let some of it go and just
absolutely
be present in who you are right now.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that comes with age too, that I've noticed that just in the last 2 years, that it's so much more important to stop focusing on the past and even the future. I can't do it. It just, that whole big picture thing throws me way off.
Yeah.
Tiny steps, big picture for me. And it's kind of, it can be volatile sometimes, you know, with money and all of that, but I'm like, but I've always gotten a job. So for me, and there's a little bit of entitlement there, but I've always been able to get a job. So I'm never truly worried about money or any of that, because I'm like, well, I'm broke, but I'm going to get a paycheck.
But so I'll be all right.
You know what I mean? So it's that kind of mentality too, that I feel so different from where I was 7 years ago, you know? So I want to go back really quickly about the DC thing, because mm-hmm. I feel like with all this election thing, we were supposed to chat the day after, and thank God we didn't, because we were all like buzzing.
Yeah, we would have been all over the place.
Yeah. yeah. But what a fucking banner year for one. Wow. 2020.
Jeez.
But everything that you did, you know, when Trump was in office, I definitely feel like, you know, that's a huge imprint on your kiddos, but also just, you know, standing up for what's right. And, you know, then cut to the Black Lives Matter movement, mm-hmm. which really opened my eyes. I mean, I am just so not blind, but definitely Seabiscuit, you know, like I've got these blinders on just because it doesn't quote affect me.
Right.
And it just, honestly, all the shit that hit the fan, I am grateful for it, because I'm just like, nope, I'm not. If you said one negative thing about, nope, I'm done with you. I'm not putting up with anybody's shit anymore.
And I think when it comes to these issues, I think a lot of white people got to that point, like where, you know, I mean, it's we have privilege and entitlement, and it's been quote easy for us to just, you know, sort mm-hmm. of go on in our lives, and it is whatever, doesn't affect me. But I mean, when you see like what we saw in the summer, like somebody being, you know, a Black man being murdered on yeah. live television, it's just
I mean
yeah. it's not like we haven't seen it, of course we have, but I don't know, it was just I just feel like so many white people just could not turn a blind eye anymore, like, and had to put their foot down with others in their lives that are like, you know, trying to make the false equivalency of Black Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter, which we know that was all a bunch of crap, because look what happened at the Capitol.
Yeah, exactly.
Those same people attacked police officers. I just,
yeah. So just quickly, though, before we get it, if we want to get into that. So you did do a lot of, quote, peaceful protests. And I think that's where a lot of the confusion for the white and the privileged white, if you will, get pissed about it. Because I see all these, you know, right wing people talking about, well, blah, 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 and they murdered people and they broke in. Okay. But we're not getting the full story either. But when it comes to peaceful protests, I mean, how many protests have you been a part of that were, you know, quote, normal?
I went. The very first one that I went to was the Women's March, the first Women's March in 2017. I brought William, who was, what, 7 or so at the time. I had never been to one before, ever. It was incredible. It was long. It was, I mean, we were like packed together. You couldn't even move. But it was peaceful the entire time. I mean, once we started marching, the energy was there. There wasn't a lot of hate. It was very, you know, a very American protest.
Matter of fact, yeah.
Yes, and you know, like people were outraged, and we were yelling, "Can't build the wall, hands too small," and that kind of thing. But yeah, you know, and like booing, you know, Trump's hotel on the way to the Capitol, that kind of thing. But like, in no way was anybody going to be storming the Capitol. You know, like And then I want to say maybe 2 weeks after that was the Muslim ban march. So that came at the heels of, I guess, Trump's Muslim ban, whatever, I don't know if it was legislation or whatever. But I mean, it was another, it was huge. And, you know, people were pissed and outraged, but it was another peaceful protest. I just posted a Facebook memory with footage from that. And it's just, you know, people marching down the streets of DC, chanting and singing and holding signs, you know, same with the March for Our Lives. We went to that after the Parkland shooting, huge rally. Emotions were super high because it wasn't too long after the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas massacre. But again, just marching through the streets and chanting and waving signs. You know, I witnessed now, so many of the, I marched in Pride.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that was like a party. That was, but I mean, I was part of the Gays Against Guns group. So we, one thing that that group does is they dress, they call them human beings. And so you dress in all white with a veil and you're representing somebody in the community that died by gun violence. So we were kind of like a somber group within the Pride Parade, but I mean, everybody was like moved by it and cheering for us. And I've never seen anything like what I witnessed with the Capitol riot. Like, and I've been in the streets of DC protesting many times during the Trump administration.
So that's another quick question about that, because, was it mixed? Like, was it all demographics, all races in these
protests? Yes, across the board, demographics. I will say that the first Women's March, there was a small, like, contingency of Trump people, like bikers for Trump or something like that. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to start trouble and stuff. But I mean, they were obviously completely outnumbered. And then I want to say at the second Women's March I went to like 2 years ago, there were some people with bullhorns, but, you know, people were just ignoring them. So, but yeah, I mean, people that were there to support, completely diverse.
Well, and I think in my head, I'm just thinking, and I get almost kind of sick to my stomach thinking about all those people together and looking at that versus what happened with the Black Lives Matter protests and how people were horribly hurt and some died. And it just, to me, it just radiates the truth about our country right there. Mm-hmm. That,
and it was peaceful protesting. Nothing... It was peaceful protesting. Yes. I mean,
it was peaceful then too, but it just blows my mind to think that, you know, we were made to think that if you get in this mass group, you know, it's not safe. And I mean, I witnessed it even here in Kansas City, and I knew several people that were down there or up there, whatever. I don't know my geography. And I would see it from the helicopter, and I could visibly see these cops like yanking people and dragging people.
It just
blows my mind, you know, fast forward to the Capitol, and it just disgusts me. It makes me absolutely sick to my stomach.
Well, and then if you think about it, what I've described, it's the Women's March and the Muslim ban, and that was early on in the Trump administration, and then March for Our Lives, I guess, was what, a year or so later. But I never experienced anything like the Black Lives Matter protesters did in DC with like tear gas and the rubber bullets and all that. I've never seen anything like that. I didn't even really see that level of like law enforcement at any of the protests that I'd been to. So had I been there, I don't know.
I know. And it to me, it's just obviously literally and figuratively black and white, that it is very racist. And, you know, just seeing pictures of the cops in these outfits,
militarized.
Yes. And at the same time, we couldn't get masks for people at the hospital. I mean, honestly, this feels like decades ago. That's how much 2020 has aged us all. Like, that feels like so long ago.
I know, and doesn't it?
Last summer, like 9 months ago, 10 months ago. Crazy, crazy. So fast forward, though, like, how are we feeling now that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are elected?
When I tell you that the juxtaposition between the morning after Trump got elected, when I literally couldn't get out of bed. I like took a sick day and was crying. Mm-hmm. Like, it was grief and re-traumatization and seeing this abuser basically be enabled and become president of the United States. And I had been, you know, screaming about it to anybody that would listen all the way up until he was elected. So it was awful. And then just the difference. I guess it was that Saturday, right? That it was finally called for him. And I mean, I was like, I blasted Scandal Goodbye to You and like on nice. My TV and was dancing around my living room like a freak singing.
Absolutely.
Like, but joy. Like I had chills all over the place. I was like by myself, like smiling, singing, dancing, having a great time just by my damn self.
Hell yeah.
It was so.
And I'm sure collectively you were not alone. Everybody was feeling, I mean, half of America was feeling that. And honestly, it's so funny to me that, you know, I have, quote, lost a lot of friends during this on my own free will, because I don't want to hear your rhetoric about Trump. If you're a female and you voted for Trump,
come on,
you're either brainwashed or you are being abused yourself and you're just, you can't see it.
Yeah.
And, or you're being blindsided and encouraged by a religion that if you don't vote, Trump has never, ever represented anything in the Christian community. And yet these people, especially women that are like, he's my president, I'm done with you. I can't, then you have nothing in common with me and we're done. And so when people are like, oh, you're not going to unfriend me because we have different opinions. It's not an opinion.
It's not an opinion. It's like morals. I don't want to.
It's exactly. It's a lifestyle and we have nothing in common.
It is. And it isn't politics anymore when it came to him. It was beyond politics. It was, you know, I just don't align with you anymore at all. And I had done a lot of that stuff like after the election, really. So by the time this election rolled around, I'm saying mostly on social media, I had really gotten rid of most, if not everybody, that, you know, supported Trump on my feed. Like, yeah. I just can't be friends. I can't do it. I can't pretend.
Right. And that's the whole point for me too, is because, you know, I still have maybe a handful of people, that aren't completely like neurotic about it and down your throat about it. But my thing is that I just can't be fake about it. No. And I refuse to be a fake friend to you because if we can't talk about this, like intelligent human beings, then we have nothing in common, because it will eventually turn into an argument about morals and humanity. Yep. You know,
and then if you're going to sit there and talk to me about conspiracy theories and all of this craziness, come on.
Oh my God.
Right?
Lay off the Quaaludes. Seriously. Put the Quaaludes down. Take a nap. Oh my God. I can't with these
like
people.
Like child trafficking, sex rings and shit. Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
I mean. It's so much like fucked up shit came out of these last 4 years. We all know it was kind of always there and kind of bubbling under the surface, but it burst.
I mean, and the main thing for me too is that the media. So when September 11th happened, that is really when media blew the fuck up. Like, you had the red ticker going. You had 24-hour fucking news. We didn't have that shit before September 11th. I don't think people realize that. Like, there were channels, but it was not like it is today.
Not even close. And plus, we didn't have social media. So social media has changed the entire face of it all.
Absolutely. And they just play off one another. And it's like literally, somebody posted something amazing today about the Salem witch trials. And one of the guys I went to high school with, and something about, you know, just basically, well, were they really witches, or was that just something somebody said and then the masses believed it? I mean, the fucking fuckery that comes out of Fox News or any of these news channels.
Yes.
It's true. It's like, I know. Are you kidding me? Like, I mean, if they said that, you know, bananas are the new airplane, and we're going to fly them tomorrow. People are like, have you heard about the new banana? What? Are you kidding me? Shut up. I can't.
So,
I can't.
Actually, now this makes me think of so my own mother, I mean, when we were growing up, like, we were pretty much we were Republican. I mean, my grandparents, my mom's parents were very conservative. My mother, when we were growing up, she was very conservative. We you know, our household loved Reagan and all of this. And
But
what's interesting is that, you know, I feel like people as they age tend to get more conservative. My mother went, it's like she went the exact opposite. So
I love it.
And it was because of Fox News. She said her thing is that I guess when Fox News first started, it was probably during Clinton, I think, like in the 90s. The story goes that she like kind of, you know, checked out CNN and checked out whatever, and then looked at Fox News, and she watched it literally like a few times and was like, this is like Chicken Little, the sky is falling and we're like all gonna die. I'm not watching this. Like, she didn't believe any of it. And this is a woman who, I mean, at that point, she had to have been in her 50s. Mm-hmm. And she, so during the Bush years, she just became, and like the Tea Party and all of that, she just became really disillusioned with the party. And she says that the party abandoned her. And now she's like a like Democrat flag waving liberal, you know?
Mm-hmm. Like, well, and I think there's something to be said for that, too. And, you know, who she's related to, what you represent, you know, she's got grandkids now. And you know,
it
that's my thing is that, you know, I just don't get how anybody can be so for Trump when you're a female, for one.
I don't understand it.
I don't get it. Like, you don't care about yourself then if you, and I voted Republican. I loved George fucking Bush, the second one. I loved him. I literally did because I was like, military kid. I'm like, oh yeah, this is a great life.
Yeah.
And then I see him with
Michelle Obama.
Obama's wife, yeah. Michelle. And I'm like, he's still a good soul, and that's why I liked him. Was he a greatest president? No. But at the time I'm like, this is my dude.
And then to Trump. Like, think about that. Like,
exactly.
Really?
Exactly.
From you know, so, just like kind of like a good old boy George W. to like this absolute monster is how did we even get here?
Yeah, so praise be the good kind that now Biden is under president. His eye. I mean,
no, never.
Which,
oh my god,
like, seriously, watching that, I was like, I have to watch this again because this could be our life. Like, I have to know what June is up to.
To the Handmaids, to be honest, we were like right on the brink of it.
I know, and I was like, I gotta watch this, I gotta know how to do this, I gotta know how to like sneak these kids out of this country. Like, I don't know what to do.
I'm
so,
like,
yeah,
I would
I'm
be
just
in
grateful.
The colonies digging or something. Like, there's no, I wouldn't be able to be complicit. I would have died in the colonies.
yeah that's so why isn't that quiz on Facebook,
right?
Which handmaid are you?
Obviously I can't be a handmaid anymore at 48, but
right
I would, the God. Hell I'd be like any commander's wife or any I don't know, are they Martha's or what, and I would have been in the colonies.
Yeah, well, and so that season I think is coming out this summer. I think in June there's another season coming out, so that'll be very interesting to see what they do with that,
in
with everything
climate,
that's gone
right.
on
it, yeah, versus yeah. The dark ages of the Trump years.
Yeah, because I feel like they probably been waiting a little bit. I mean, with COVID hitting, they probably had to wait anyway.
Yeah,
but
sure.
I really do feel like, I know it's based off the book, but I'm guessing that this because it's done so well, they'll have a little bit of liberty in what they do, so I'm excited to see it. Yeah, so wow, it just feels like so long ago that all of this took place.
I know.
And I've definitely aged over the last year. I've not seen the inside of a gym in probably, it feels like a decade.
No,
so
I know.
Yeah. I look forward to getting back into shape eventually.
Yeah, it'll happen. It's been rough. It's been rough. You know,
so,
though, I don't know.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as somebody who's also been through some shit, I was curious if I can ask you, when COVID hit and, like, you know, all of these changes and we had to adjust to all this stuff, did you, as somebody that survived something horrible already, did you feel super freaked out, or were you just kind of like, oh, okay, this is what we're doing now?
You know, I wouldn't say super freaked out, but I definitely went into survivor mode because I'm like, I care about my family and only my family. I don't give two shits about my job. Instantly thought, how can I get McKenna here?
Yeah.
Yeah. But freak out, no, but I definitely was one of the first people taking precautions. Like, I can even remember, I looked at my memories today. And I went to a soccer game here in Kansas City, which was like a big deal, like March 8th. Yeah. And there's a picture of me and I had like a bandana over my face. Well, I was already doing that shit like the summer before. Like, it was my jam. I'm like, oh, I'm going to wear a bandana around my neck. I'm like, holy shit, did I manifest this? Yeah, you did.
It's your fault.
It's my fault. So that was March 8th, and then spring break was the next following weekend, and I vividly remember hearing it on the news, like, this shit is getting serious. And I remember being at work and taking the clipboard down from the top part of the desk, like, we're now gonna write the names. I'm not letting any of these clients come in and write their name and share the pen. Yep. I'm not doing any of that.
True.
And I'm not
service
gonna
stuff you have to think about.
Yes. That. So I was already, I thinking back now, yeah, I went into survival mode without even knowing. And my sister and I talk about it. I mean, I was wearing a mask like immediately. I didn't give a shit. I'm like, yeah. I hear what it's saying. I'm wearing a mask. If it was just a bandana, I didn't do shit for like 3 weeks because I had time already marked off because I was supposed to go to my friend's wedding. And then I was supposed to go, even before that, I was supposed to go to Denver. Then my mom fell. Then I was supposed to go to a wedding. And then McKenna was coming for spring break. So I already had time blocked off,
right?
So it actually benefited me because I was home already. But fast forward, then I was like, nope, now with everything going on and my mom fell, fuck this job, I'm done with the bullshit. And yep, it's survival mode. Like, I went to the store and bought what I could. It didn't traumatize me, but it did freak me out. Like, what does this mean? What does this look like for my dynamic with my kid where she is and my family being older? So that's why even still when I see these fuckers come into the store without a mask, I'm like,
oh God,
you're not the only one on this planet. It is still, you know, your responsibility to protect everyone. And people just don't care. For the most part, people do. But every
There's
once in a while you get
the
guys
that don't.
Oh my God, the same fucking type dudes walk in with the same haircut, the same beard, the same, you know, devil look in their eye. And I'm like, this motherfucker. Like, you know,
I know.
Seriously.
Like, just where it's not, I mean, like, what do you feel, not manly?
Yeah.
It's so stupid. It's so stupid.
Yeah.
I was going to say that for my end, it was weird. I had this like strange phenomenon early on where it's like, I think I have been going at light speed for so long and I've been so sort of like hyper vigilant just about my life in general with various things that like when it hit and I, you know, in the quarantine and we couldn't go anywhere, I felt almost like, I mean, not for the, obviously not because of the pandemic itself or the illness, but just straight up my life. Like, I felt like I could relax for a second and had an excuse to, you know?
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Shut down. I didn't have to commute into DC. I could work from home. You know, I could just kind of focus and be with Will. And I don't know. It was like, it didn't affect me the way I saw it affecting other people around me.
Well, and I think too, there is a certain type of person, you know, like, are you going to go into fucking fight or flight mode? And I would say I went into somewhat of a flight mode just because of my parents and my kiddos, like the locate, my dynamic personally. But I know too that once summer hit and I mean, I was still living off of money that I had from tax returns, so that it all worked out for me. Like, I'm like, I don't have to work, and thank God.
Yeah.
And then it was like I reconnected with an old buddy, and I was spending more time with my family, and my purpose in helping take care of my mom. Like, I was the same way. I felt super calm. I felt like this shit right now is happening. What matters.
Right.
And this is what was supposed to happen. So most of us would figure out, holy shit, like you said, I've been going at light speed and feeling nothing, feeling just like, what is there? And now I know, you know,
being
there.
Pulled 800 different directions with work and being a single mom and advocacy and just everything, you know, just life is crazy. And I just felt like, for the first time in 8 years, I could just, it felt almost like a relief for a little bit. And then I got over it. And
absolutely.
I was like, okay, we need to get, you know, it got scary, of course. And it's like, we got to get this pandemic under control. And people started, you know, increasingly dying. But I'm more talking about like sort of the beginning when, when we locked down. And I felt less hypervigilant, like looking over my shoulder type of stuff that just, you know, you don't always realize you're doing that stuff.
Well, and I think for me too, like, you know, I'm mostly somebody that stays in her own lane. Like anytime that I like go on a soapbox in my first of all, I don't have a soapbox. I just have heels. But anytime I say something on Facebook that isn't fucking Polly Pocket, you know, powerful sunshine, people are like, are you okay? What's going on?
Right.
And I'm like, bitch, I'm angry. I'm allowed to be angry. And I'm allowed to have a voice when it comes to this shit. And I don't want to hear that you can't wear a mask when my 78-year-old mother, who had cancer, has emphysema, has no teeth, broke her fucking her femur and her hip.
Oh my God.
Like, she wears a mask when she does her physical therapy. So I just don't want to hear it. I don't have time for it. And that's another thing that this thing taught me, was that I just don't have time for it. Nope. I made all the time in the world before. I'm like, yeah, no problem. Now I don't have time.
No.
I don't have time. And it feels great. Like, I don't feel bad about it. Before,
I don't either.
I don't feel bad.
I don't feel bad about it.
I don't.
And, you know, and I think as women, you know, we're just supposed to juggle it all and do it all and be super women and all this stuff. And I feel like, you know, we've given ourselves permission to put up those boundaries and to say no and to, you know, really just take care of ourselves and our families.
Absolutely. And I know for me too, it was like, I would see all these news stories about, you know, people dying, and it, obviously it made me sick to my stomach, but I'm like, but me and my family, we are doing what we're supposed to. So I'm not freaking out. I'm not freaking out because for the most part, we're doing what we're supposed to. But then all these other people, you know, just make me lose my shit. But it's taught me a lot about control too. I can't control anybody else. I don't want to, but it was definitely this like light bulb moment. Like, stop trying to fucking force that shit on people. Even who I am as a person, you know, like, you don't have to like me, vice versa, all that jam. And the boundary thing, I mean, 2020 was like this huge fucking, I feel like it's been this cave, but there's always been a light there. It's just, we're just keep walking. Like, we're in a cave and we can see it. And some people will fall off and be like, no, I want to stay in the darkness. And others, we're just like, no, I see the light. I'm going. I feel like that's where I'm at. And if the people that are in the dark want to stay there, you're not my people. I had to set my boundaries and say, I'm going towards the light. You can stay here, but I don't have the energy to lift you up anymore.
Yeah. And I would say also with like the mask thing, I think something that COVID has shown all of us is that really there are a faction of people that really, like, they just won't do the right thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know where that comes from or why they would be that way. But like, the care for like humanity around you is just, I don't know. I don't understand these people.
I don't
know. Like, how hard is it to put a mask on? Honestly.
Yeah, it's not. And even when it was hard to find a mask, the shit I see come through the store, I'm like, that is not a viable mask. There's a lady that comes in.
You see it all.
I'm like, what in the fuck is that on your face? That is not I don't know what it is, but we have plenty right here in this stand that you could just pop that thing off and put another one on. But, you know, at the beginning, yeah, when it was like we couldn't find them and whatnot, sure, then stay home. You don't need to go anywhere.
My freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I really do think that it comes down to, you know, obviously how people have been raised and, mm-hmm, but for the most part, it's entitlement. So
that, it is. And actually I can speak to the regional thing too, because so you're in Kansas and when all this hit, I was in Virginia, which is technically the South, you know, and, mm-hmm, people were really slow to start with masks in Virginia where I lived. I wore them pretty early. Like I can remember going to the grocery store with Will, and we both had masks on, and we were among the only two in the store at that point. Yep. It was weird because we talked about this recently, Will and I, and I was like, remember we felt kind of like self-conscious the first time we really like went out, yeah, with masks, because we had never, you know, we've never done that before, and others weren't doing it. Then in the height of quarantine, I would say more people than not were wearing masks. But when I moved up here, literally like everybody wears a mask. You're, yeah, like, you are like ostracized if you don't wear a mask. You're not allowed in stores, restaurants. They, mm-hmm, they will enforce it, where in, mm-hmm, Virginia they really weren't. So I think that really sucks, because it really is, it seems like a state by state thing.
It is. And even with, I mean, it's county by county and all of it.
That too.
I just love seeing one of my bosses. I mean, and it was like all in one day, we had all the same kind of fucking people. And this, my manager's like, well, the guy would be like, well, it's my constitutional right not to wear one. He's like, well, it's my constitutional right to tell you to wear one because it's my store. So you either, yeah, put it on or you can't shop here. And people, good, just want to argue. Like, that's literally how you grew up. You literally just want to argue. And that's why we're here. It has nothing to do with right and wrong. It's just, no, it doesn't. You want to argue. You want, right, to argue. End of story.
My, yeah, constitutional right not to wear one. Come on.
Oh, for the love of God, just put the thing on. I mean, what are you even here for? You're here for food to survive, but you can't survive if you're going to catch the virus, possibly. So,
idiots.
I think that's where algebra comes into play. I'm not sure because I don't math, but I feel like that's an equation somewhere. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Let me ask Kaylin. So with everything that's been going on with COVID, you've moved, you're working a new job. And are we dating? Are we doing any of that stuff? Cause I feel like for me, I did date someone for a little bit over the summer, and I don't know why it was so hard to get over this dude, but it's like, I want to meet new people, but I'm like, I can't do anything. How can I do anything during COVID? I don't know. So how's that all been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I've been really sort of on and off with dating through the years anyway. Like, I, for a very long time, had no business sort of dating anybody.
Yeah.
You know, and but we get lonely, you know, and I'm not like the most affectionate romantic person in the world. It's just who I am. But you know, I mean, you want company sometimes, and yeah, you know, like adult conversations and whatever. And you know, I'm alone, I'm single mom home with my son all the time. So I've tried dating on and off. Nothing has really stuck. I mean, I've been dating somebody for the last like couple months or so.
That's awesome. Would you say though, really quickly, like what we've been through is kind of, do you think it's more of a hindrance, or do you think of it more of like an enlightening moment that we're like, no, I'm not putting up with that shit.
I think it's enlightening. I've gone back and forth, and you know, I've obviously been in therapy since everything that's happened, and you know, to keep my wheels on kind of. I've gone back and forth with like, am I, you know, not too picky? It's not that. Am I, mm-hmm, like, you know, creating like
Like, am I creating a red flag that's not there? Am I seeing a red flag that's not there? Or like running away too quickly and that kind of thing. And I have to say no. Everybody that I've even briefly dated where I'm like, no, it's definitely been the right choice.
Yeah.
I think it's enlightenment. I think that there's just not enough people that are going to fucking add up for us. It's just, yeah, they're not going to, you know, they're, it's like, they're just, they haven't, there's just a lot of people that haven't been through what we've been through. They don't, it's just, it's, it, we're on like a different plane, maybe. It's very difficult to know.
Well, and I think for me too, it's like, I know a lot of people that I've met have their own shit, like just a different category, you know, like
that too.
So when I meet somebody, I instantly am like, well, I know you got shit. So let's have it. And I try not to even bring up my story anymore because it's not who I am, but it does have to be spoken about because of my dynamic as a mom. But that's really the only reason, because I feel like, I mean, I've changed in the aspect of, I'm not going to take any shit and I'm not going to feel bad about it, but I'm also going to understand the way that I may be presenting it to you that I'm not going to take shit may not be the best way. But I feel like even that, I'm like, no, I just feel like something's off and you're not being forthcoming with me. And yeah, it goes back to that whole thing. It's like, I can't be fake. I cannot do the fake just for the sake of company or intimacy or any of that. I just can't do it. I won't do it. You know, I just don't have the time.
Yeah. I don't have the time or the patience. I'm not going to play games. I'm just too fucking tired and I don't want to do it. Like, I don't want to do it, you know? So, yeah. I guess my hardest thing has always been like you were saying about your story. 'Cause for me, I'm just so public. If anybody Googles me, it lights up like a Christmas tree, you know? So it's hard for me kind of not to say it. But I've always kind of struggled with, I don't want to lead with it because that's like a lot, but I can't really hide it either. So most recently I waited like probably a good 2 to 3 weeks. And then was like, so, you know, probably ought to know. But that person had already kind of Googled me anyway.
Oh, well,
but it was great because gave me the space,
yeah,
to like say when I would say it when I was ready, not like, oh, hey, I Googled you, what's up with this? So,
or like the dodgeball question, you know, like firing at you, like no loaded questions. Yeah, basically.
I didn't. It was like really one of the first times that I haven't experienced that, so that was really refreshing because it was that's just awesome. Like, and not a ton of questions at all. Like, okay, this happened. It doesn't define me, moving on, let's laugh about something, you know, and that's to me way better.
And the just being part is definitely full circle, and it's just so much better that way, you know, to just
it is. Yeah. And I think the other thing just quickly that I've experienced in kind of the dating scene, especially post shooting, has been this like having to fight against the kind of damsel in distress thing that comes along with my story. Yes. And somehow I need to be saved by somebody. And it's like, no,
yeah,
I'm good. Like, I've done a lot of work. I'm good. Like, I don't need to be saved. I don't, you know, need you to fix me or fix the situation or I've got a handle on it. So it's just a much healthier place to be.
Absolutely. And I feel like, you know, with everyone having their shit, I go back and forth with this all the time because I've been called a quote fixer. And I'm like, nah, I'm not a fixer. I'm a healer. There's a difference. I give myself props for knowing exactly what you're going through, empathizing with what you're going through, trying to help you see your worth. But I'm not trying to fix you for myself. I'm trying to push you to your better self. But what I've realized with myself too, I don't necessarily want that in a relationship. Like, we got to be equal. Like, I'm not here just to be your cheerleader and then you dump me or I dump you and then you go have a magnificent life without me, which has been kind of the MO. Mm-hmm. Like, here I am, you know, I'll be your kickstand for this time. And then I'm left depleted and now I mean, I'm happy single and I say that a lot, but I really am. But when I'm looking for someone, like, I'm not going to, and sometimes I can't help it though, because that's just what I do. I'm really good at lifting people up because that's what I love to do. But right. you can always tell when it's somebody that like super needs it and can't function without it versus somebody who's really appreciative of it and is like,
sure, you know, absolutely.
So it's that balance too for me, finding that person and trying not to look for it, because that clearly doesn't work. But
do you find it super challenging?
I find it super challenging because I'm a Scorpio. That sounds so stupid. But really, I'm very intuitive, and I'm not some crazy paranoid bitch. I'm very intuitive. I feel things before people tell me. Mm-hmm. And that's that whole healer thing. I really do get people before they even kind of open up. And so then when they're not opening up, I feel like they're holding back. And so it just kind of creates this whole wall. And then I'm just like, I'm not interested anymore.
You're definitely somebody who like can feel it when something is off. Like,
I totally feel
from what I've observed of you. So it's like, if somebody's doing something shady, like, you know it.
Yeah, I do. And
so,
it's like,
don't even try to hide that shit.
And I try, you know, so many girlfriends come to me for dating advice, which I think is hilarious. I'm like, I've got 2 divorces on my resume. So, but even that being
said, you know more.
I do. And I'm glad for those, especially those. But I'm always like, when you tell me, or you like, you know, I don't know what's going on with this dude or girl or whatever. And I'm like, look, it may not be exactly what you're thinking, but if something feels off in your gut, it is. It may not be he's cheating or she's cheating or whatever. It may be just something very small that they're holding back and you're picking up on it. And you've got to, that's where the communication happens, that you have to be like, look, what's going on with you? And making it a safe space to talk about anything, you know, like, well, maybe you had a shitty day with work and your boss called you a piece of shit, but you don't want to tell me that because, you know, all the bills are in your name or whatever it may be. But I definitely pick up on those little things, and then they kind of snowball, and then here we are, you know, you think that I'm riding your jock too hard and not the good kind. So then you're like, okay, I don't want to be with you, you know?
Right. So, right.
But
that's funny that you're that person. Cause I'm the I'm the person that's like the Meryl Streep gif of dump him. Like the minute somebody's like, my boyfriend said, I'm dump him, dump and run. So I'm like the worst person because I'm like freaking just dump him and run. I'm the worst person to come to.
Oh, God. That's never
But, you
not
know,
funny.
Sometimes maybe that is the person you need. Maybe that is, maybe some people do need that person to say,
absolutely. And I've been that person. I've been that person too. I think more so I have to tell myself too, like, do you really need to, you know, go deeper with this relationship, or should you be like, dump him, you know? Or should he? One of the things I have learned about myself with all of this is that one of my main relationships that I had, and I haven't really dated that much, I mean, yes and no, but that serious relationship I had there for a while, mm-hmm. I mean, towards the end, I was like, my addiction that I'm trying to get over is that I don't trust anybody. And for why? I mean, if you look at my past, like, there's a reason why I don't, and it's valid. It's completely valid. Absolutely. Why I don't trust. But every day I get up and say, I gotta trust. And it's all about, you know, it really is about trusting yourself, which I've learned. Like, okay, if I could do that, they could probably do that. So if I'm not being shady, more than likely they're not. But it has manifested itself so many times that I'm like, wait, did I make this happen? But what I started to notice is like, look, I don't want to have this abuser behavior. That
That's
I want
like
to know where you are, who you're texting.
Worry about. But
But then again, on the flip side, I'm like, but here we are, you know,
how
everything
do you, right,
that
so
I
how
thought
do you
was going to happen, happened.
Sort of
so
balance that.
Yes,
then.
It happened.
That's apparently, or it's when
you
feel that
stay
feeling.
Single, apparently,
that's
I don't know,
the
but
Meryl Streep dump him. You know, when and because you know you're, I guess it comes from it's just
right
learning from your experience and saying, I've seen this before. And I think we too often second guess ourselves, like, well, that was that person. Yeah. And you know, this, he or she is not that person, and you know, try to overlook stuff. But at the end of the day, a lot of these red flags are all the same shit.
Yeah, and they're definitely flags. And I do appreciate, though, if somebody has a red flag, just let's talk about it right away. Like, okay, mm-hmm. so you're shit with money, or you hate your mom, or whatever it might be. You're like, okay, let's talk about it. And then we can make the decision as we talk about it. Not we're like so in love and having this most amazing intimacy, yeah, and then a bomb drops. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what? How did this happen? How did I let myself be intimate with somebody that does this kind of shit in life, you know? And it's not about judgment. Mm-mm. I know I've been kind of viewed that way. It's like, it has nothing to do with judgment. It has to do with, you represent me and I shared me with you. Like, the more I see all this stuff, like the energy that people share with each other, and it's like, now that is part of me, and I don't want that shit. So that was therapy session itself just now. So thanks.
It's worth talking about, and I think a lot of people feel this way, and you know, whether you've been through shit or not, it's really hard out there at our age being single, and you know, we've got our stuff and they've got theirs, and trying to balance all of that. And it's just acknowledge that it's hard, you know. What I don't like, I think, is sort of this need that a lot of people have at the beginning of dating, to like kind of impress each other, and like you said, if there's a red flag,
mm-hmm.
kind of a fear of sitting down and talking about it, that maybe this might end the relationship, which would be fine. And I think people just have a real fear of that, of oh God, it might end. Well,
right.
You know, maybe that's a good thing if it needs to, you know, if things aren't lining up. Why are people afraid of that?
Well, and I think there's something to be said too. And first of all, I hate the phrase at our age, because I really don't. I felt my age this year, but I keep telling Kaylin, I'm like, I like younger men. Get over it. Deal with it. So, but I do think there's something to be said too. Like, you could be so connected with someone, that doesn't mean you have to be romantic, because I feel like I have so many amazing connections with men and women. But as far as dating, it's like, you know, the minute that you say that you're not going to be romantic with somebody, but you've had this mm-hmm. amazing chemistry and synergy, if you will. And you're like, well, it's not going to be romantic just because of the A, B, and C. And then it's like, they fall off. Like, well, I don't want anything to do with you then, because it's not going to be sexual or romantic. And I'm just like, then you literally just spoke up to how it would look in our relationship. You know what I mean? You just literally opened the book for how it was going to look. Like, you were just bullshitting me. And I get so frustrated with that, because I'm like, I'm still going to be the Jen that sends you a Merry Christmas text at 6 p.m. after a glass of wine, because I genuinely give a shit about how you're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's tough,
but
it is. But you know, here we are.
but good for you that you're dating. That's awesome. I think too, it's just a matter of, you know, getting all the things in line, and everything's not going to be perfect all the time. But I do think that, you know, things with me, for instance, like my job that I love, and my girls, like, there's just, whenever there's the right energy, that's when I feel like I'm most, quote, desirable, and feel like I can put myself out there. Like, there are just lull times that I'm like, I'm not looking for anyone just because I'm single doesn't mean I'm like, oh, I'm single. No, I'm definitely happy in my own skin and my singleness, but the energy and the moon and all that have to be right too for me to really
agree
be
with that. Absolutely.
Into it all, I guess. So who knows? So I wanted to do this thing. I'm going to start doing these on all my podcasts, but the whole rapid fire questions, and we can kind of, you know, extend the conversation with it or not. But I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you can just answer whatever answer. And then if you want to chat more about it, then we can. So
winter. And I hesitate because historically I've always been a warm weather girl. and like lived for like going to the beach and the sun. And I mean, I lived in Florida for 6 years and I lived in California for a time, but I am jamming on winter. I love it. I maybe it's like perimenopause and I'm warm all the time and the cold doesn't bother me anymore. I don't know. I don't get like angry about the cold anymore. And like the snowfalls that we've had, I've done a bunch of like, you know, winter activities, skiing, snowmobiling, like all this shit that I would never have done. I'm embracing it. Yeah. I am into like,
yeah, which is why I asked.
A ton of snow, like cabin, fire, like walk some hiking trails. Like I've never been this person. So.
Well, and that's one of the reasons I asked, because I love all the pictures and I'm just like, how can she do it? I mean, I dig that stuff too, especially when it's like romantic or whatever, but and family oriented, but knowing what I know of you and, you know, the beach and so it's interesting, but I do also think covered in goosebumps that it has something to do with the full circle where you are.
Yeah.
And it's just accepting this is where I'm meant to be. This is where I'm near the water.
Spring and summer roll around. You know, I'll be jamming in the sun and loving the beach and everything. But I, at this point right now, I am loving winter.
It's.
Thanks.
Yeah. Well, I can tell. And it looks good on you. And you know, what's funny is that so many of my good besties live out that way. I'm like, I'm totally going to be marching back that way to see all you girls. But it's so beautiful there. And what I do love about it, it has all the seasons. It really does. And it's weird, but I feel like those seasons out there are on crack. Like they're just, you know, they're 10 times more than they are anywhere else, but that makes it so much more magical. Like kind of like out in the Pacific Northwest too. It's the same way there.
Tons of leaves and stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome. Exactly. Okay, next question.
Hand holding.
Hugs or hand holding?
Not a big hugger unless not a big hugger unless it's like my kids and family.
That's like my jam.
And friends, close friends. I'll hug my close friends, but I'm definitely more like handhold. I'm definitely more handhold. Yeah, I am a side hugger. It's
but
really bad.
You're not a side hugger.
I know. I'm trying to be, hard with COVID too. So that was kind of convenient. Like, no, you got to stay 6 feet away from me. Listen, I have finished blood in me. And apparently like the personal space of a finished person is like 6 feet, like stay away from me. So I come by it naturally. But I do like to hold hands. I do like to hold hands.
I can see that. Okay. Yeah. And you know what? I think hugging too, it's very, for me, like hand holding is my jam, but hugging too is very intimate.
Right. That's it is.
You know, it's kind of progressive. Like it could lead to a lot of things. It could be super awkward.
And if I don't
awkward,
know somebody really well,
amazing.
I'm just
so
not,
I get
like,
that too.
The, you know, the, when you the, when you go over people's houses for something and there's somebody new and it's like, oh, like I want to hug you and stuff. I'm like, maybe it's that I do have to feel a connection of some sort before I'm going to put my body
I get
there.
That.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that makes so much sense. I mean,
it
because
does
I think
seem
too,
very
it can
fake.
Also be perceived as like a fake thing. Like I'm not going to be hugging everybody just well, to you, hug. That, right. Yeah. Cause I want to get in there. Like
where
if you're,
for me,
yeah,
I'll feel,
I want to get
I will
in there.
Feel
so
fake
I understand
if I don't
completely.
Like really
okay.
know you, it's like, oh, hi, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and my thing is I'm not a side hugger when I catch myself doing that. And I mean, I haven't hugged somebody in so long. I mean, I hug my kids, but it's like, dude, I can't
you do
wait
that.
To like get in there. Okay. I'm calm.
You have, calm. Yeah, you have fun with that.
I'll be over here. You be over there. Okay. Okay. Jeans or dress?
Well, I'm overthinking it. Does that in the summer dress? I can't.
Yeah. But you're also a yoga pant girl, which I can never do that. I mean, you have a good enough figure that if I wore yoga pants,
girl,
yeah.
Can't
I do it. So jeans.
But yeah. So and it also depends on COVID or not, like during like you know, for going out, jeans.
During the summer, dress. I don't want any pants on. like all the time.
Yeah, no, I'm a dress girl in the summer all the time.
It's like,
yeah,
just want a nice.
No, I don't either.
Like t-shirt dress or something, but so. But I love a good pair of jeans too. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So where do you shop? Where do you go to get your jeans? Because people are like, oh my God, you have something new on every day. I'm like, this is old. Like, they're like, where do you shop? I'm like, pretty much everywhere. Neither, but I'm not somebody like, who's, I'll like, go to, paying a shit ton of money for really the good best Marshalls pair of jeans. Like, no.
That, like, whoever's the buyer for that Marshalls is awesome. They, they've got great choices of everything. So I've gotten jeans there, and I've also just ordered on Amazon. I'm not a, like, go try shit on person. Like, I try to, like, I think, you know, my weight will fluctuate 20-ish pounds up and down throughout a year. You know, COVID has been a little rough with that, but, you know, so most of my jeans, they're, like, kind of stretchy-ish, so I can get away with it if I'm on the heavier end of the 20 versus the lighter end.
Yeah.
So yeah, I eyeball a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and me all working right now, I can't have holes in my jeans. I'm like, that's pretty much half my wardrobe. So I'm like, I'm almost 50, but I want to have holes in my jeans to be cool, man. But yeah, I'm like rotating through the same pair of Walmart jeans or Target jeans. And I'm like, I can live like this. I don't need all of these fucking yoga jeans. Pants like, now, what do I have all these for? I don't even
know. Leggings.
I don't even have that. I'm like, I told Kaylin, I was like, I need to borrow your sweatpants because I don't have enough lounge around clothes because before COVID, honestly, I wasn't home that much.
Yeah, and you can't wear sweats to work.
I was always doing something. So, okay. No, even though some of these kids do, I'm like, what the hell? I'm worried about my ears on my hat. I'm not worried about it anymore. Blonde or brunette?
For me? Like my own hair?
Yeah. You're naturally brunette or no? Are you naturally like sandy?
So, we all started like highlighting / playing around with colors with my hair for the last like 20 years. At this point, it's like it's not dark brown. It's somewhere like in the middle between light and dark. Every once in a while, I'm like, I'm going to embrace the dark. Mm-hmm. And I go dark like I did a year ago. And it's weird because I'll love it at first. And then I'm like, I just feel more like bright and just naturally like me with highlighted blonde hair. I don't know. It's just how I feel the most comfortable and confident. And so, you know.
Yeah, makes sense. I think I've gone brunette like one time way back when I lived in Washington State. Yeah. And I had like the natural curls and the big hair.
Yeah,
the
you could definitely pull it off.
All my friends like, oh my God, your eyes pop. Eyes. It's amazing. And I'm like, but I'm like pale naturally. I got that Irish skin. So it just kind of washes me out. But I admire people like you that can really rock any color, black. I would think. So.
But yeah, when I was younger, like a long time ago.
Did you?
I don't look good as with black hair.
You have pictures
like,
of that?
Dark brown, yeah, but black is not good. And I've tried red before, and that's not, that kind of washes me. That doesn't look very good either. But like an auburn really does look good. So it just depends. But blonde is always, some shade of blonde is my go-to. I'm really liking the color it is right now. Like it's like I'm not like platinum
it looks good.
Super blonde like I've been in the past. I feel like that washes me out anyway. That's I'll go with blonde.
Well, and I feel like the older we get too, like my hair just does not take to certain colors that I really want. Like my hair is dead and old, like my soul. No, but yeah, so I've noticed that too. No. My soul is fine, everybody. But I've noticed, like, even when I tried to go pink, and the dude that he's a fucking mastermind, like, he couldn't get it to work. And I'm like, oh, it's my hair. He's like, yeah, thanks, your hair is pretty dry and old. And I'm like, oh, thanks. God. So, for real. So, like, yeah. But so, yeah, I struggle right now. Like, okay, do I really want to try to go with a pop of color or not? But I'm in that stage right now. I'm like, well, feels like spring is coming, so I really want to try to go highlighted blonde again. But we'll see. I'm always wearing a hat anyway. But
hats in the winter. I really, really like hats. So, not as much in the summer, but I once fall hits, I really like to start wearing like hats. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely. I kind of already know the answer to this, Massachusetts or Virginia.
Hands down.
But what, and I mean, the move to Virginia was strategic, right? It wasn't like you just decided to go there. Okay, I couldn't remember, but yeah. So that kind of too, looking at back at it now, you know, it's kind of where I am. I'm with my situation, you know, without all that, but it's like, it's just not, it's not working. So what though exactly would you say that Massachusetts brings out in you? Like, what do you feel? Because I do feel like, I feel like Virginia really was, when you talk about all of the protests and everything, it
definitely
really was,
and
like,
and you know, I
a
don't,
part of the
I
journey.
Regret,
like
regret
it was
any
you
of
like
the, of it. I don't regret, you know, moving back to Virginia, and I had done it for, you know, many reasons. But that's the thing. It was
right.
You know, the move was not about me. It really just wasn't. And the plan had been to, you know, be there until about 2022. And then I was going to, you know, move to Massachusetts.
Right.
So it's always been So that's why I, you know.
Okay. So that's always been in your mind.
I embraced Virginia and the things that I got to do there. And I got to do a hell of a lot of stuff and like really cool, like life-changing memories for a lifetime type of stuff that I wouldn't really have gotten to do up here. So for, you know, what it was at the time, it was great. But this feels like home. Like I, for the first time probably since I left home for college, this is probably the first time I've really felt like, okay, like I can see myself really like just staying put and staying here in this area. And it's really an amazing feeling. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, good. You deserve it.
Wine.
Definitely wine. Or wine.
I like Pinot Noir.
Yeah. What's your jam?
Especially like when it's colder and then if I'm going to go with a white, it's usually Pinot Grigio dry, never anything sweet. But I've gotten a little more into beer since being up here because there's really a lot of breweries in the area. So I've kind of embraced kind of beer a little bit lately. So,
what brand in the Pinot Noir?
I am so not like a connoisseur picky. I can barely, you could probably put a like super expensive glass of Pinot Noir in front of me and like box Pinot Noir and I wouldn't even know the difference. So no, I am not picky.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Yeah, I've been drinking just because they were out. Ooh, there's one that's called Seven Moons. It's so good, but they stopped carrying it. And so I'm like, well, shit.
Oh, yeah,
and
I've tried that.
There's
that's
another
good.
One called Josh. Mm-hmm. And that whole series. Yeah, I like the red blend, actually. But
no,
red wine usually isn't
can't.
My friend
really
because you
can't
drink it like white wine. Like,
yeah,
when you do, you're really sick. The
thing
the next
is,
day,
for beer
so
with me is that
I learned
like,
that quickly.
I can like recently, I was at a brewery and we got like a flight. So obviously, I was trying all the different kinds, and by the time I got to the last one, I was like, like not sick, but like bloated. You know, I just felt like I can't. if I, I can't just like sit around and drink a bunch of beer. This makes me feel, I don't know, makes me feel too full. But for me, honestly, my body is so sensitive. I have to be really, careful. I can't overdo it. I'll pay the price, especially as I get older.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've noticed that too, just in the last year. That'll be the whole phrase, but in the last year, I've noticed too, like, wow, like, I can't drink that much. I can't
do it like we used to.
I have to drink water. But yeah, no, I mean, my God, I can't even do it like I did 2 years ago.
Not for nothing, but I just have to be aware. Like, I know my body well enough now where I know when it's getting to be like, okay, like, can't really do anymore.
Yeah. I really hope I hope by the time this all kind of, you know, settles a little bit more that I will still know how to have a good time, because I was just seeing memories from last year at this time. And people calling me the bad influence. I'm like, first of all, I'm not. I'm probably the
You're not throwing down, right.
I'm not someone who's going to help your wife or I'm not helping anybody cheat on anybody.
Like, oh, you're making them go out and have a good time.
Light up a crack pipe. That's not me.
Please, they wanted to go out and have a good time.
Yeah, no, definitely. Exactly.
Lots of tattoos.
Okay. Tattoos, no tattoos.
Oh.
And now is that on you and the person you would want to date?
And I don't think I care really one way or the other about the person I'm dating. If they have it, I mean, there's something to be said for a lot of them. I think it can look really good, like kind of sexy. No tattoos. That's also fine. I'm not really super picky about that, but I have ones that are, you know, like, obviously I got them to be meaningful to me.
Yeah. Well, and I think over the years for me, and I wasn't really sheltered, but you know, the way parents are, like, tattoos were like, oh my God, oh my God. And so now I see somebody with a full sleeve, especially a female. I'm like, dude, that is so hot.
You could totally rock a sleeve.
You're the kind of person that should have a sleeve. I'm like,
really? Rock a sleeve.
I mean, I just in my head, I'm like, I have like 3 or 4 that I want to get, but like having like the full design, like in my head, I don't.
That's how I am too. Like, I want this kind of random. You would have to work with an artist to like come up with a concept.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah, but yeah, I think sleeves are totally fucking hot, and I've seen dudes even from my old job and this job with face tattoos, and I admire people that have the balls or uterus to do that anyway. But I also think it's just art. And there's a girl I work with, and she's got one. Well, there's several people that have them, but
I just don't know why there's ever been a judgment about
fucking badass. Like, and she's gorgeous.
Who cares if somebody wants that?
Well, because it just was.
I know,
but it really was trashy, put into this box. You were considered this like hooligan or somebody. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or somebody that had just gotten out of prison. Or right. Some shit. Like listen, really? That's
my tattoos
quite the
do not look like jailhouse
Mary
tattoos,
Ellen.
All right?
Yeah. Don't mind this teardrop on my face, Mom. It's
oh,
fine.
Oh, God. Yeah.
It's from a song. Right. Okay. And last but not least,
now.
Or the future?
Absolutely.
Now,
yeah, obviously, there was good, but there was a lot of shit. I'm in a really good place right now. I used to be a person that was always looking to the future, like, if only this changed or only that changed, then I'll be happy. That I was like that for a very, very long time, and no more.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm like right now, and I can't stress anymore about the things I can't control. I'm just trying to, you know, do my best in this moment and
stay the course and, you know, have a lot of hope and just, you know, live my life.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, I'm noticing more and more when I say things out loud. Yep. That I then have to truly believe him. And I know for me, I don't have any regrets. The only regret that I have is not leaving
Betts's
face should have. That is the only regret. And honestly, because that one would have changed, it would have changed everything. But then I even say with that, it wouldn't look like it does now for all these other positive things, you know?
That's why you can't really brood about the past, because it's and so many people do it, and I get it. But it's like, if that, you know, if I could go all the way back, like I went to school at Purdue University for 2 years, and then I transferred to Franklin and Marshall College in Pennsylvania. I've had regrets about that. I thought, I probably just should have stuck it out at Purdue. Mm-hmm. It was so fun. Like, I had such good friends, great school. I really only had 2 more years left, you know, but my life would, even from mm-hmm. that moment, that like pivotal moment, would look completely different. And you just can't, there's nothing you can do. Like, you know, you're making the best decisions and,
yeah, you know,
that you can in the moment. And that's, you know, there's no point in sitting there going, I wish I would have done something different.
Yeah. Yep, and I know, especially coming from that mentality will literally break you down and put you right back.
Nobody wants to do that. Who wants to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nope.
No. Yeah. Definitely. Well, right. Some people might, but definitely not us. Yeah. Well, this was awesome. Hey, right. This was awesome once again, and I definitely, once this COVID shit is at least a little bit more normal, I so will be coming out that way.
Absolutely, because there's a whole dance bunch party of us
and
a
fashion show
now,
and all the shit, you know, that we haven't been able to do.
Yeah, so we'll definitely have a good time.
All the people's up there.
I definitely want a dance party.
Hell yeah. Yeah, hell yeah. Always.
All right,
well, you take care, and I'll talk to you soon, lady.